This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, nahmuduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min siyati a'malina min yahdihillahu fala mudillala wa min yudhihu fala hadila amma ba'd. At this time of the year, I want to just go through a brief reminder on the Islamic position towards having fun. And it's for multiple reasons. Number one, obviously the World Cup is going on at the moment and some people are enjoying it, other people are saying it's haram, everyone's fighting with each other. Maybe some clarity can give us a bit of a middle part, right? And the other thing is school vacation holidays just started and the kids want to have fun, right? And hopefully we all have some ideas of halal fun our kids can enjoy and do. So, you know, this khutbah will inshallah serve multiple purposes to end a variety of different arguments that we have around this time of the year. And I just want to focus on some of the fundamental, some of the key points related to recreation or entertainment or fun in Islam. To begin, Islam is a religion that caters to basic human needs and desires, right? It is the religion of the fitrah, the natural way of life. And generally, when we talk about Islam being a natural way of life, we talk about the natural beliefs that we're born with. But there are other aspects to Islam being a religion of the fitrah. And one of those aspects is that it caters to basic human desires. That for everything a human desires, all legitimate and healthy desires, there are halal ways to engage those desires in Islam. Right? And the halal tends to outweigh the haram for most things. So for example, eating and drinking, the amount of things you are allowed to eat are many. And the amount of things that are haram to eat are very few. You can list them in one page. It's the same with things to drink, right? Aside from intoxicants, we can drink almost anything else. So when it comes to our basic desires, Islam has left things halal until proven haram. And it's only made haram that which is bad for us, that which is harmful for us. And we take that same principle and we apply it to entertainment, we apply it to recreation. And we can draw from that, that just as Islam caters for every other basic human need, it also caters to for the human need of entertainment, the human need of recreation, which is, for many of us, a need, right? That many of us actually need downtime, we need fun time, we need relaxation time, and this differs from person to person, and even from age group to age group. So maybe, you know, a child may need a lot more entertainment. A teenager may need a certain amount. As you get more into adulthood, you know, you get more caught up in your work, you just need 1 or 2 hours a day. But everyone needs downtime, and everyone needs time to relax. And there's a misconception that some people have, that to be a good Muslim, you have to be doing acts of ibadah 24/7. Right, that you have to be engaged in worship 24/7. And if you're not engaged in worship, then you're wasting time, and wasting time is haram. Right, you hear this a lot, wasting time is haram. So they expect people to be on the go 24/7, and this is unrealistic. And this was not the lifestyle of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba. And there are many, many narrations about this. We know, for example, that on the day of Eid, there were girls in the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam who were singing and playing with the drums. And when Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu tried to stop them, he said, let them continue. Let the kuffar see that we also have fun. Let them see that we also have fun. Right? And we know also that there were the display with the spears in the masjid, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took his family to watch. Right? And there are many other examples of this. The famous story of Abu Darda radiallahu anhu and Salman al-Farsi. When Salman al-Farsi went to visit the home of Abu Darda, and he notices that Umm Darda is not happy. And so he asks her why, and she explains that Abu Darda is 24/7 worship, right? What people expect us to be, right? These days. He's just 24 hours worship. What's the problem with this? He's neglecting his wife. He's neglecting his health. His wife is not happy. Her needs are not taken care of. So Salman al-Farsi sits down to Abu Darda and he explains to him a very important principle. He says, your Lord has rights over you, your wife has rights over you, your body has rights over you. So give each of them their rights. Abu Darda goes and complains to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells him, Salman is right. Salman is right.
Allah has rights over you, your family has rights over you, and your body has rights over you. So give each of them their rights. And this shows us that in Islam, we are supposed to be taking care of our dunya as well. Taking care of our business, taking care of our family, taking care of ourselves. And part of taking care of yourselves is enjoying a little bit of halal. So this is something that's there throughout our history. And we see even with the second generation of Muslims, one of the great scholars from the second generation was asked about Abdullah ibn Umar. Now if you know Abdullah ibn Umar, he was the strictest of the Sahaba. Right, from all of the Sahaba, Umar and his son Abdullah were the strictest of the Sahaba. So someone asked about Abdullah ibn Umar, he asked, did he used to have fun? This was the question they asked. Did he do anything for fun? And the student of Abdullah ibn Umar said, he was human like you and I. He was human like you and I. What does this mean? He used to have fun like everybody else. So this shows us even the strictest of Sahaba did certain things for fun. And we know that they had wrestling, they had archery, they had swimming, they had competitions between each other. There were certain days when they would sing, certain occasions, people who were known for their poetry. So it wasn't a society that was just 24/7 worship. There was this taking time for each aspect of human life. And this is something that we all need to understand. Now, when it comes to the exact ruling on entertainment or recreation, the general rule that applies is the same rule that applies to almost anything else of the dunya, of this world. And that is the principle of fiqh, that al-aslu fil ashyahi al-ibaha. The original state or the original ruling on anything is ibaha, permissibility. Right? This is a maxim of fiqh across all of the madhabs. All four madhabs today agree on this maxim of fiqh, that the original ruling on anything is permissibility. In the early years, the Hanafi madhab had some disagreement, but later on they also accepted this principle. So whichever of the four madhabs you follow, this is the general ruling. When it comes to things of this world, unless there is explicit evidence that it is haram, or you can see something haram in it, like some kind of elements to it that are haram, or you can find some genuine harm in it, then the general rule is that things of this world are halal. Now we take that same ruling and we apply it to entertainment. You do not need a mufti to go and try out every type of entertainment in the world and tell you this one is halal, this one is haram. Right? That's a waste of his time and a waste of his efforts. And really, there's just too many. There's always new ones being invented. Some people, you know, they go to a bit of an extreme. For every single video game or movie, they want a fatwa. Do you think the mufti is going to watch the movie and then tell you, yeah, it's haram, I watched it, it's haram? They're not going to do that. Right? That's a waste of their time. So we need to be a bit more proactive when it comes to these things. What we need to do is we need to have basic principles that we apply when we are dealing with entertainment. Number one, things are halal until proven haram. Number two, certain things are explicitly haram by Quran and Sunnah. Right? Certain things are explicitly haram by Quran and Sunnah. Like what? Recreational drugs, right? Intoxicants, indecent music, you know, the kind of music that has vulgarness in it and calls people towards evil, right? These kind of things are, by consensus, prohibited. But beyond that, almost anything else can be permissible. You have to use your inner conscience. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the authentic hadith, he said that if you feel bad about something in your heart and you don't want people to know that you did it, then it is a sin. Take that same principle and apply it to entertainment. If you are watching something that makes you feel dirty inside, that you don't want people to know that you watched it, don't watch it. It's probably haram. Right? This is the inner moral compass Allah has given us. So you use your common sense to navigate the world of entertainment and only do that which is halal. Right? So certain things are clearly haram. And most of the things will be halal. The majority of things out there that people do for fun, playing sports, playing board games, playing video games, having competitions with each other, reading a book, taking a hike, whatever it is, majority of things are halal. But you do have some areas where there's going to be difference of opinion, right? And this is the area where we tend to get into the most arguments about, where we tend to get heated about, that there are certain aspects of having fun where there are differences of opinion. So basically, people invent something new and ulama will look at it and some will say it's halal, some will say it's haram. What do you do in that case? What do you do if one alim is telling you something is halal and someone else is telling you that it is haram? Let me give you a basic example, right? What's going on at the moment? Soccer, right? You ask some people, soccer is halal. If you ask me, soccer is halal. It's a sport like any other sport. It's fine. But there is a fatwa from ulama, that is a reputable fatwa, saying that it's haram, right? And their justification for saying it's haram is that it wastes time, it causes nationalism, it causes people to get drunk and behave badly, and men's auras are exposed, right? And all of these are legitimate points, right? I don't think they're strong enough to make the sport itself haram, but they're legitimate points. You can understand where they're coming from, right? So what's going to happen is the average Muslim may ask someone, is soccer halal? One Ali might say yes, one Ali might say no. What do you do in that case? Right, this is the key point. What do you do when you have a difference of opinion on whether something is halal or haram? Right? Very simple. You follow the fatwa that makes more sense to you while respecting the other opinion. You see, this is what many of us can't do. We can't respect the other opinion. We need to learn to respect the other opinion. That there will be things that you think is halal and someone else thinks is haram. And as long as both are following proper ijtihad to arrive at their conclusions, both opinions should be respected. And you're going to find this for most forms of entertainment, right? That some people are going to say it's halal, some people are going to say it's haram. Because there are certain elements where people differ on whether it's strong enough to make it haram or not. So for example, the most common reason given why certain things are haram is they waste time, right? Now, I personally don't think that's a good enough reason to make something haram, to saying that wasting time makes it haram. Because if wasting time is haram, then if you're daydreaming for 5 minutes and wasted at work, is that haram? Did you waste time? Right? It's not, wasting time is not necessarily haram. It's not the best course of action. It's not the highest level of piety. It's not what we should strive for. But it's something that's human and normal. Right? So wasting time is not automatically haram. We could say it's makruh. It's dislike to waste our time. Right? But if, for example, someone did all their work and, you know, they spend time with their family and everything's taken care of and they're spending 1.5 hours doing something fun, I don't necessarily see that as a waste of time. If it helps them to recover and to be strong and productive the next day, then it's not a waste of time. So even these points, like something being a waste of time, these things are, there's even a difference in how we perceive it. That what one person looks at and says, yes, that's a waste of time, somebody else will look at it and see there's something productive. So we can't even agree on whether these things are a waste of time or not. So how can we pass fatwa based on that point? So one last point on the issue of entertainment. And this is the main one that we all need to apply to our lives when it comes to having fun, right? This is the main thing to keep in mind. Islam teaches us to prioritize, to always look at what's most important and to prioritize that. So if you are praying your salah 5 times a day, fulfilling your obligations to Allah, fulfilling your obligations towards your family, getting your work done, then there is nothing wrong with enjoying some halal fun, right? There has to be priorities. Now today we have a problem. Some people are addicted to entertainment. We have people in their 20s who are video game addicts. They don't work, they don't study, they just play video games all day. This is a problem. It doesn't make video games haram, it means that person has a problem and that person needs counseling, right? So you don't make the whole thing haram because one person has a problem, right? Otherwise, everything is addictive. Anything you do for fun is addictive. It's all about learning balance. And for parents, we have to teach this to our children. Teach them balance. Teach them to prioritize. Teach them to prioritize their salah, to prioritize family time, to prioritize their studies. And then after that, they can enjoy on the side, right? Anything that is halal. And this is the main point that we all need to keep in mind when it comes to entertainment. So to summarize what we said today, we said that Islam is a religion that caters for all basic human desires. And this includes the desire to have fun. So there are thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of halal ways to have fun. And a handful of ways of having fun that are haram. And those things, there are obvious reasons why they are haram, right? Things like gambling and intoxicants and drugs, it's obvious why they are haram. Just look at statistics. Just look at what happens to people who indulge in these things. Allah only made haram those things that are going to harm you, right? So number one, it's within our nature to enjoy things of this world. So Allah has made a religion that caters for that. Number two, the majority of forms of entertainment are halal, except that which is prohibited or has elements of prohibition in it, right? Or that which is harmful. Number three, do everything in moderation and prioritize your ibadat and your family over entertainment. Do not become an addict to entertainment. Do not make it your life. Do not make it like the main thing your life is all about. It should be a side thing. The last thing you do at the end of the day after everything else. It shouldn't be something that consumes your life and consumes your day and becomes all life is about. Because Allah did not create us for that. And number four, when there is a difference of opinion, follow the opinion that makes sense to you, but respect the other opinion. Understand that even those who have a different opinion from you, they're coming from a place of proper ijtihad, of concerns that are valid. Right? It's just that they arrived at a different conclusion from you. And Allah will accept our opinion, Allah will accept their opinion. We need to learn to respect these differences of opinion. We ask Allah to guide us to the path of moderation. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salam ala mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. There is a hadith that's often quoted to shut down any conversation on this topic, and it's a misunderstood hadith. And that is the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ said that all forms of recreation are batil besides archery, swimming and horse riding. Right? This is an authentic hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said all forms of recreation are batil besides horse riding, swimming and archery. And in another version of the hadith he mentions wrestling, and in a different version of the hadith he mentions spending time with your wife. Right? These things are not batil, I mean these things are good. Right? Now this hadith is misunderstood by some people and they use it as the basis to say all forms of entertainment are haram besides the ones listed in this hadith. And this is an incorrect understanding of the hadith. Imam Al-Ghazali rahimahullah, he explains this hadith and he says the word batil means it's a waste of time and there's no reward for it. It does not mean haram. Batil does not mean haram. It just means there's no reward for it. So when the Prophet ﷺ said there is no that every act of entertainment is batil besides these three, he means anything you do for fun, you do not expect a reward for it, unless you're doing these things. And this makes sense. None of us are watching soccer and expecting reward for that, right? None of us are playing video game and expecting reward for that. We know these things are a waste of time. We do it just for fun. But those things specifically mentioned in this hadith, archery, horse riding, swimming, you know, fighting skills, and spending time with your wife, these things are things that you are actually rewarded for. They are fun and you are rewarded for them. Why are you rewarded specifically for those four skills? Swimming, horse riding, archery, and fighting. These four skills, generally, the Prophet ﷺ would encourage people to choose those over other forms of sports because they would train a man to be capable of defense, right? Because men are the defenders and the protectors of their communities. You cannot fulfill this position in your family or your community if you are weak. So, if you are going to entertain yourself, what is recommended in Islam is something that makes you stronger, something that makes you better at defending your family. So that's why the Prophet ﷺ highly recommended that we focus on things like archery, which today would include shooting, horse riding, and fighting and swimming, because these were all self-defense skills that help you to protect yourself and your family. Right? So you're actually rewarded for doing these things. It doesn't mean other things are haram, as explained by Imam Al-Ghazali. And one final point to conclude. One of the problems we have today in our Islamic discourse, in how we present Islam, specifically to young people, is that too often we expect a level of perfection from others that is unrealistic. Right? And when other people are not being perfect, you know, we look for reasons to condemn them, to look down on them. So we'd be like, astaghfirullah, you are wasting time, right? And this could be a small child who's like playing soccer, right? And people are like, astaghfirullah, Allah didn't create you for this. Why are you wasting time? But that's not the correct approach to have to other people. Ihsan, perfection, which is the highest level of spirituality, is something you get after a lifelong journey of worshipping Allah. It's something you only attain late in life. Early in life, you know, especially for children and teenagers and young adults, they need more entertainment. As you get older, you probably need less and less as you if you are increasing in piety. But to expect every single Muslim to be at the level of ihsan, this is unrealistic. Rather, this concept of ihsan, of perfection in worship, you focus on yourself. You focus on getting yourself to that level. For the rest of the Muslims, make life easy for them. Make life easy for them. Don't expect everyone to be perfect. Don't expect every Muslim you meet to be praying the sunnah salah and praying tahajjud, avoiding anything that wastes time. No, you need to be realistic in how you deal with people. And this was the methodology of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba. When Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he taught him a very important principle of da'wah. He told him, yassiru wa la tu'assiru. Make things easy for the people, don't make it difficult for them. As their da'i, as their teacher, as their mufti, make things easy for them. Don't make it difficult for them. And this is the role of the teachers of Islam. Whether you are parents, whether you are an Islamic studies teacher, whether you are part of the ulama or a mufti, whatever it is, if you have a role in influencing somebody else Islamically, you should make things easy for them. Don't make things difficult for them. What this means is, you expect people to try their best. You don't expect people to be perfect. Right? You don't demand perfection of the average person. This is how you're supposed to deal with people. And you see this nowadays, specifically in the issue of entertainment, that too often people are making that highest level of piety as the only level that Muslims can be at. Right? And if you're not at that level, then you're outside the fold of Islam, or you're a bidati, or you're a kafir, or you're a waste of time, or whatever it is. You know, it's like you're either perfect or you're nothing at all. And that's not how it is. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam dealt with every type of Muslim, and he treated all of them, you know, according to their level. He didn't expect everyone to be perfect. There was a man who came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said that if I pray 5 times a day and fast the month of Ramadan and avoid the haram, will I go to Jannah? And he said, if I don't do anything else, will I go to Jannah? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, you'll go to Jannah. And some of the Sahaba asked him, like, why? This man's not even going to read his sunnah, he's not going to pray tahajjud, he's poor, so he's not even mentioned anything about zakah or hajj or umrah, just salah, fasting, and avoiding haram, just 3 things. And the Prophet said, yes, if he does that, he will go to Jannah. The path to Jannah is easy. We make it difficult. We make it difficult. You're not praying tahajjud, you're not a good Muslim. Tahajjud is not compulsory. Inshallah, one day we'll get to the spiritual level where we pray tahajjud, but you don't force it on others. You recommend it, you advise it, you encourage it, you make it sound beautiful, but you don't force it or expect it of others, right? And the same principle goes back here when it comes to entertainment. Yes, the highest level of piety and ihsan is where you become so pious, such a waliullah, that you don't need entertainment in your life, right? This is the highest level of piety. And if you have reached this level, alhamdulillah, mashallah, may Allah allow us to reach that level too. But for the average Muslim, you don't expect this of them. Don't expect this of them. Rather, treat people in a way as based on the hadith that make things easy for them, don't make it difficult for them. And treat people according to their level, and understand everybody's at a different path in their journey towards Allah. Some people need more of the dunya than others. Some people have more weaknesses than others. We are here to help people to get closer to Allah, not to push them away with demands of perfection. And this is a message even to parents, because sometimes we expect too much from our teenagers. Right, so we need to be a bit more realistic from what level of spirituality we expect from a teenager. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us all to the best understanding of Islam and to practice this religion properly. May He make our children and our descendants righteous leaders of this ummah. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Rabbana hab lana min azwajina wa dhurriyyatina qurrata a'yun waj'alna lil muttaqina imama. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun al mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.